Paul writes his letters, he usually starts his letters with a prayer for those he's writing to. But in this case, when he was writing to the church at Ephesus, he started by talking about every spiritual blessing that they had in Christ Jesus. I believe Paul understood that what the people in Ephesus needed to really focus their minds on and to understand first and foremost is how much God had blessed them and how rich they were because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. It is so easy for us sometimes to forget the blessings that Jesus, the blessings that God has given us through His Son Jesus. So many times we walk through life and we think the blessings that God is going to give us is going to be some kind of aha, wow type of blessing that we can get on TV, the 700 Club, and brag about. But that's not always how God works in our life. And what we don't understand is that once we came to know Jesus as Savior and Jesus sent His Holy Spirit into our life, He also brought into our life some blessings that are always there, always evident. We don't always recognize them, and sometimes we don't focus on them, and sometimes we live day in and day out and don't recognize them as we walk and as we talk. But we need to understand as believers today that as we live day in and day out, that there are certain blessings that come from God and that come from Jesus Christ and that come from His Holy Spirit that are always present in our life. And we can lean on those blessings. We can rejoice in those blessings. Those blessings can become sources of encouragement for us every day. Paul knew this. That's why he wanted the Ephesian believers to understand what they had in their relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And so in this hymn of praise, in these verses that we read a few moments ago, in verses 3 through 14, he begins with the first stanza of singing and talking about how God has blessed them by choosing them, by adopting them, and by accepting them. And then he talks about the blessings that are evident because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. And he says that we have blessings from Jesus that include being redeemed by His blood, being redeemed by His blood, and being forgiven of our trespasses, and then having a plan and a purpose for our life. And today we come to the third stanza. He talks about the blessings that we receive because of the Holy Spirit coming into our life. When the Holy Spirit comes into our life, He seals us. And the Holy Spirit serves as a down payment for that day that we'll ultimately be with the Lord in heaven. And while we have an inheritance from Him today, and we can enjoy that inheritance, when we get to be with the Lord in heaven, that inheritance will become full blown, and it will all be ours. And it's not going to be just streets of gold, but it's going to be the very person of Jesus in our midst. Our faith will become sight. And what we've been living for, praying for, looking forward to, will be a reality. The Holy Spirit is a down payment of that in our life. I want us to look at that this morning. I want us to understand that God gives us blessings for us to glorify Him with. He just doesn't give us blessings because He wants us to just enjoy life. You know, God is not necessarily a prosperity gospel God. Now, we have prosperity gospel preachers who say God that's obligated to give you the blessings of material blessings because He wants you to be happier than anybody else in the world. No, but God is a God who blesses us. He chooses us, He adopts us, He accepts us. Jesus redeems us, He forgives us, He gives us a plan and a purpose. He's there giving us these blessings. He gives us the blessings out of His good pleasure, the Scripture says. I don't know about you, but I hope that if you get anything out of this series of messages that I've presented on these verses these last few weeks, that you will understand that the blessings we have from God and the blessings we have from Jesus Christ, blessings we have from the Holy Spirit, are blessings that he gives us because he wanted to, because he felt good about it. He wanted to bless us, and he gave us these spiritual blessings out of his good pleasure. And also, he gave it to us out of dipping into his grace and lavishing all this on us. He just didn't say, well, you know, Garvin doesn't really deserve all of it, and I'm just going to give him a little bit of it. God's not a miserly God. He blesses us by the riches of his glory. And he reaches down and he gives us these blessings, and he gives us everything we can use, everything we can stand. He blesses us with everything he's got. He blesses us with his grace. And we need to understand that God blesses us not just so we can back up and look at our friends and our neighbors and the people that we live around and say, look how good we are. Look at how much God thinks of me. Look at how he's blessed me. He just doesn't give us these blessings so that we can have bragging rights for ourselves. He gives us those blessings so we can have bragging rights on him, so that we can give God the credit and realize that the blessings we enjoy are not because we deserved them, but it's because God, through his grace and his mercy, bestowed them upon us by his good pleasure. But also we need to understand that the blessings that we have are supposed to motivate us to be like God, to be like his son Jesus, and to be a blessing to others. Sometimes we think the blessings we have are blessings that we should just be able to enjoy and just rake into our lives and just enjoy them. And we have this attitude that they're for us. We have that sort of same problem that the Jews had when God said, I will bless those who bless you. And why? Because so that you can be a blessing to others. We don't hear that last part all the time. And so we need to understand that the blessings that we're talking about this morning are blessings that not only are to bless us and to build our strength and encourage us in our relationship with Jesus Christ and to give us strength to be able to live for him in tough times and good times, but it's also inspires us, instructs us to be a blessing to others. And so in this last stanza of this passage, Paul turns to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 13, he says that it's in him, it's in the Holy Spirit also, that we were sealed when we heard the word of truth, the gospel of salvation, and when you believed. Now, what was Paul talking about here, about how the Holy Spirit brings this blessing into our life? The Holy Spirit brings this blessing of us being sealed in our relationship with God and his son, Jesus Christ. Paul says that happens when we believe. When we believe. It's when we come to the point in our life that we hear the truth of the gospel. And we hear that truth and we accept it as the gospel, and we understand that that truth that we've heard has something for us that we don't possess and that we need, and we understand that the only way we can have that truth to become a reality in our life is to cry out to God to save us, because that's the way God brings salvation into our life, is by the preaching of the gospel and by us hearing it and accepting it. And the Holy Spirit, after we have cried out to God for salvation and we've heard the gospel and we've believed, that is, we've come to the point in our life where we're willing to not only hear the gospel, not only agree that the gospel sounds pretty good, but we come to the point where we're willing to say, I'm going to trust it. I'm going to trust the gospel to do exactly what Paul said it would do. I'm going to trust it to do that in my life. I'm going to trust the fact that God is going to save me because of what he told me in the gospel about how Jesus died on the cross and shed his blood for me and took my place. I should have died there. It was my sin that nailed him there. It wasn't just the Roman nails, the nails of the Roman soldier that he drove into the hands of Jesus, into his feet, but they were representative of my sins. I put him there. He voluntarily went to the cross and died for me and took my place. And that's the truth of the gospel. And now I'm going to trust him. I'm going to trust him because he did that for me. I'm going to place my trust in him. I'm going to rely on him. I'm going to repent of the way I've lived. I'm going to repent of my sin. I'm going to ask him to forgive me. I'm going to ask him to change my life and to make me a new person and make me brand new. That's the gospel. And at that point, at that very point when we believe, at that very point when we cry out to God for salvation, that very point when we repent and we surrender to him and we trust in him, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and seals us up for him. And nothing can ever take us away from God and from our relationship with Jesus Christ. We are secure in him, signed, sealed, and delivered by the Holy Spirit. That's what Paul, I believe, is trying to get across here when he says about, talks about the blessing of the fact that the Holy Spirit seals us, seals our relationship, and it's all because of what the gospel does in our life. It's all because of how the gospel penetrates and infiltrates our life and begins to make a difference in us and changes us and transforms us. And the Holy Spirit comes in to live and seals us in our relationship with him. And when Paul was talking about being sealed, he was trying to picture to us what the Holy Spirit does in our life once we place our faith and our trust in Jesus and once we believe. One picture of being sealed is the picture of a completed transaction. What Paul is saying is that when the Holy Spirit comes into us and seals us, in our relationship with the Lord, it's like God is saying, the transaction is completed. Everything that's needed to be done has been done. I certify that this person has come to me and placed their faith in me, and this is a completed thing in their life. It's when sinners become saints, and it's when strangers are adopted, and it's when we come to the point where we're signed, sealed, and delivered into a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's like going into a office of a person who is a notary public, and you're bringing these documents to them, and you need them to stamp them, sign them with you, witnessing that these are true, and the transaction that you are making is complete. The Holy Spirit is our notary public, signs the documents, helps us understand that what Jesus has done on the cross is complete. It's finished. It's telestai. Your relationship is true. It's fulfilled. There's nothing else that can be added to it. The Holy Spirit has come into your life and become the notary public of your relationship with God. It is a completed transaction. There's no going back. There's no turning around. It's a relationship that will always be true, always be real, always be there. The feelings may not always be there, but we don't live by feelings, do we? We live by the completed transaction of the Holy Spirit that comes into our heart because we have placed our faith and trust in Jesus, and the Holy Spirit has sealed us in our relationship with God. There's another picture here There's a picture not only of the completed transaction, but there's a picture of authentication. Authentication. The Holy Spirit comes into our life and authenticates in us that we are genuine. How do we know that we belong to Jesus? How do we know that we walk with God? How do we know that God, through Jesus Christ, has come into our heart and has changed us? It's because the Holy Spirit has come into our life and changed us. The Holy Spirit is a witness to the world that we truly have a relationship with Him. The Holy Spirit authenticates us to the world. In fact, the Scripture tells us that if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. It's not simply a lip profession. We can all stand up this morning and with our lips say that we've trusted Jesus and we belong to Him. But folks, you can say anything you want to with your mouth and with your voice, but if God, through His Holy Spirit, is not affirming that in your life and He's not communicating to you that you are an authentic follower of His, you need to ask God, why not? When you read Scripture and the Holy Spirit is not interpreting anything to you through Scripture, when you sit in a church service and you're listening to the preacher preach and you just wish he would shut up because you're not getting anything out of it, the Holy Spirit isn't making connection for you with Him, that might be an indicator that the Holy Spirit is not there. You may not be authentic. You may be trusting in some words of some pastor that told you, don't worry about it, you're saved, you're okay. But you see, there has to be an inner witness of the Holy Spirit in your life going, you're mine, you're mine. You know, one of the greatest ways for me to understand whether the Holy Spirit really lives in me or not is when I'm convicted of sin. When I've done something and, man, that conviction hits me in the middle of my chest and I realize I've done something wrong. And not only have I realized I've done something wrong, but I'm sorrowful about it. But I'm not just sorrowful about it. I have this need to come before God and cry out to Him to forgive me and to tell Him I'm sorry and help me to have the strength to overcome this in my life. If you never have a situation like that in your life, if you can go on and sin and sin and sin and never feel bad about it, that's an indication that the Holy Spirit has not come into your life and you may not be authentic. If you can pick up the Bible and read it, it's just words off the page. And the words off the page of the Bible never sink into your heart. And there's no Holy Spirit in your life taking those words and convicting you of them and convincing you of what is right about them, that might be an indication that the Holy Spirit is not authenticating your relationship with Him. It's not simply a lip profession. It's a sign of authentication. It's not just a religious activity or good works, but it's actually the work of the Holy Spirit, the witness of the Holy Spirit working in our lives and helping those around us and ourselves to see that we're authentic. It's like the writer who sends his book into the copyright place with the government and asks for a copyright on his book. And the copyright people look at what he's written and they read it, they see what's there, and then they write down at the bottom, this is authentic. We give you the copyright to this. Or it's like going to your college. You're trying to prove to someone that you actually went to college. I always had a problem because of my Texas accent. People didn't believe that I went to college. And maybe it wasn't because of my accent. Maybe it was because of my English. But there were a lot of times I would have to prove that my college education was authentic by by writing the admissions counselor at East Texas State University, which is now Texas A&M at Commerce, and I would get a transcript of my college grades. And then I'd send it in, and that would prove that what I'm saying is authentic. I'm an authentic college graduate. I am. Believe it. I really am. Cindy watched me. But that's what the Holy Spirit does for us spiritually. That's what the Holy Spirit does as far as our relationship with God. The Holy Spirit is our transcript. And that transcript is, he's believed in Jesus. He's placed his faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He's repented of his sins. He's surrendered to Jesus. That's his transcript. He's authentic. And when he reads about me and when he walks with me, he's convicted of my presence. He's convicted of whatever I convict him of. The Holy Spirit is evident, is working in his life. That's the transcript that proves that he has a relationship with me. Here's another picture. It's a picture of ownership. It's a picture of ownership. When God comes and seals us, he's saying, I own this person. And when we talk about this being an issue of ownership, we're also saying this is an issue of lordship. The Holy Spirit comes into our life and seals us. And what we need to understand is at that moment, and even before that moment when we cried out for him for salvation, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. Jesus Christ becomes Lord of our life. He becomes the owner of our life. He owns us lock, stock, and barrel. There's nothing about us that he doesn't own. There's nothing about us that he doesn't have permission to reach down and touch us in. There's nothing about it, about our relationship with him that we can keep from him. Our life is an open book before him, and he can do anything with us that he wants because he owns us. When the Holy Spirit comes into our life, we understand and we recognize that our life is no longer our own, that we have been bought with a price, and we were paid for by the precious blood of Jesus, and we belong to him. There's another picture. It's a picture of protection. A picture of protection. Presence of the Holy Spirit shows that we are protected. It's like when someone from the city comes to read our electric meter. Those meters are supposed to be sealed. When the person who comes to read it and they see that seal has been broken, that's probably an indication that someone has tried to get in and maybe roll the record back so you don't have to pay as much for your utilities. And it automatically raises a red flag. And it's sealed so that the city can be protected from any fraud. The Holy Spirit comes in and seals us and protects us from being defrauded. That God has come into our life, and he comes into our life and he seals us. He protects us from whatever Satan may try to come in and wreak havoc in our life. Sometimes it's possible to lose the blessing of his ministry. Sometimes it's possible to lose the blessing of his relationship. But because the Holy Spirit comes into our heart and seals us, into our life and seals us, it is impossible for the Spirit to steal us away from God himself. God, by his power through Jesus Christ, holds on to us. John said that once we are in the hand of Jesus, there's nothing that can snatch us out. We are secure in him. We are protected. That's what it means to be sealed. And my question for you this morning is, have you ever been sealed by the Holy Spirit? Do you live your life every day just wondering if it's really real in your life? You don't have to. 1 John says that you can know that you have eternal life. You can know it. And if you're here with some doubts in your life and in your heart I hope that you give someone, me or someone here today, an opportunity to talk to you and to show you how you can be sure of your relationship with Him and sure of the fact that the Holy Spirit has come into your life. And sometimes we have to go all the way back to the beginning and talk about the gospel and talk about, have you received the gospel? Have you not only received it, do you believe it? Has there ever been a time when you repented of your sins and placed your faith and trust in Jesus? And sometimes we just need to come to the point where we realize, I've got to cry out to God to save me because I'm not saved. Are you sealed? Also, Paul talks about how the Holy Spirit is a down payment, a deposit for us of the inheritance that we have been promised through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is living in us. And that Holy Spirit is God's pledge that one day the inheritance that He's promised will be ours. That inheritance is Jesus, face to face in heaven. Right now is an inheritance that we have a down payment. And every day the Holy Spirit ministers to us and speaks to us as we read God's Word and as we pray. We make connection with God through the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit leads us and guides us and convicts us of sin and convinces us of what is right and leads us in living for the Lord. And that's a foretaste of heaven. That's a foretaste of the inheritance that is coming. That's a foretaste of one day we will be with Jesus forever with Him face to face. We need to understand that Paul is saying here is the greatest blessing that should get us through every situation and every circumstance, every problem that we can face in life. And that's the promise that we already have inside of us, the down payment of heaven, the down payment of living with Him and being with Him forever. It is a picture of us going into the bank to buy a home and giving the bank a down payment to ensure that we can move into that home, and a down payment that says we pledge to pay the rest of it. Now, Holy Spirit is God's down payment into our heart. God is coming into the bank of our heart and saying, okay, here's the down payment. I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit is living in your life as the earnest money or the down payment of one day you'll have it all with me. What a blessing. Also, it's a picture of an engagement ring. An engagement ring is something that a man and a woman standing before a pastor exchanges to announce and to declare their love for each other and their faithfulness to each other. And in a very real sense, the Holy Spirit is God's engagement ring to us. He sends the Holy Spirit into our heart and into our life as a sign, as a symbol, not a symbol, as a reality of the fact that He pledges His faithfulness to us and He pledges His love to us. And He asks the same from us to Him. It is a pledge of complete faithfulness and total love. You see, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be able to live day by day and to know that God has pledged Himself to us and His faithfulness and love for us. And we have a foretaste of that love and that faithfulness that we will experience in its total reality in heaven because we will be with Him face to face. We won't have to wonder about it, and we won't have to depend on our feelings about it. We won't have to wonder, well, do I, you know, is it going to happen? No, we can just by faith trust God for it because it is a blessing that comes to us through the Holy Spirit. It's a blessing of the down payment of what we're going to enjoy one day when our lives come to an end. The Holy Spirit is God's guarantee to us. The Holy Spirit makes it real in us today and will bring it to an even greater reality to come. Living out all these great blessings is not to demonstrate how superior we are. It's not for us to do like the Jews when they misunderstood that they would be a blessing and they sort of stood back and were proud of themselves and said, oh, look at us. Didn't realize that God was saying, I'm blessing you to bless others. They sort of got to the point where they felt like because God had blessed them so much, they'd become superior. But what we need to understand is that these blessings that we've just talked about over these last few Sundays, these blessings that God's placed in our life, have not been placed in our life so that we can stand back and feel superior to everybody else. It's so that we can step forward into people's lives and serve them. Serve them. So that we can step forward into people's lives and talk to them about how Jesus Christ can change their life and bring blessings in their life that they've never imagined that could be theirs. That God is promising and saying to them, I have chosen you. I want you. I want to bring you into my family. I want to accept you into a relationship with me. It's Jesus saying, I redeemed you by my blood. I've forgiven you of every sin. I have a plan and a purpose for you. It's the Holy Spirit being a down payment for us for what we're going to enjoy with Him in heaven. And it's also the Holy Spirit sealing us as we live today for that time when we'll be with Him in heaven. That's what the blessing comes to us for, and it prepares us to be His servant. It prepares us to say, Lord, here am I. Send me. It prepares us to read God's Word and to gather strength and to understand how we can help others and how we can minister to others. It should bring us to a point of confidence that when God calls, we can answer. And that answer can always be yes. And we do not have to fear serving Him because He has given us every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And because we have every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, whatever He calls us to do, He will equip us to do and give us the opportunity to do and empower us to do it. And it will always be done in accordance with His grace and His love. We are blessed to be a blessing. And I want to challenge all of us this morning that we would leave here today with that understanding that we are blessed and we are blessed to be a blessing. Let's bow together. Father, we're grateful for Your Word. We're grateful for the gospel. We're grateful for the way the gospel opens up so many things for us that helps us to get through life, that helps us to honor You, that helps us to walk with You, that helps us to worship You. Father, thank You for the blessings. And so, Father, today, as we come to the end of this service, the end of this series of sermons, I pray, Father, if there's a person here and they're saying they're realizing in their own heart, I have not taken advantage of those blessings as a believer. I have not let them make a difference in my life, that today, Father, they might say, Lord, help me to live out of these blessings to be a blessing to others. And Father, if there's someone here who has never placed their faith and trust in You, they've never cried out to You for salvation, and these blessings are just a foreign thought to them, that Father, today they might come to You in repentance and faith and trust and call out to You for the salvation that You offer to them. Father, I pray that You would just use this time as we prepare to sing, speak to us, help us to respond to You in whatever way You're leading us. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.